Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Martin Lee, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Today we're talking the Aston Martin Autosport BRDC Young Driver of the Year Award, something which started back in 1989 to find and assist the best junior British racing drivers. And since 2019, Aston Martin have been on board, and it's a heck of a prize, £200,000 and a Formula One test drive. So, what's it all about? Who have been the previous winners? Is it so useful that it can change a career? Let's answer all of those questions with today's podcast, and welcome back to the show our chief editor, Kevin Turner. Welcome back.
Hi, Martin. How's it going?
Very good. Let's get up to speed then on the award. Former winners include world champions like Jenson Button, a 13-time Grand Prix winner David Coulthard, Dario Franchitti, Anthony Davidson, George Russell, Lando Norris. This is good company that the winners join.
It's not a bad list, is it? So, yeah, we've had 32 winners. Seven of them have started a world championship Grand Prix. Three of them have won a Grand Prix, as you say. So DC, obviously the first one, Jenson, and then, of course, most recently, George Russell with his win in Brazil. And you'd like to think that Lando will join that list at some point soon. But even the ones that haven't made it to F1, almost all of them have become professional racing drivers. Obviously, as you say, Franchitti is a bit of an IndyCar legend. Anthony Davidson, yeah, won the World Endurance Championship. Missed out on Le Mans, but we've got quite a few Le Mans class wins in the former winners list as well. So, yeah, it is a pretty cool list.
Any pressure to keep that going on the judges?
Yeah, I think there's always a little bit, but you've also got to realise you're not going to find a Grand Prix driver every year. That would be ridiculous. On the other hand, I think we're very fortunate in Britain. We've got such a good, you know, motorsport foundation. We've got, you know, more club championships than anywhere else in the world, I think. Yeah, we've got lots of teams. You know, F1, a lot of F1 teams are based here. So there's always somebody who's who's proper in that, who wins it basically. So even if they're not going to get to F1, they will make a professional career, whether it be in sports cars or maybe touring cars or something else like that. So the list of former winners is impressive. I guess there is a bit of pressure, but you can only do the best job with the drivers you have, and then it's pretty intensive, the data and the testing that we go through. It's moved on a lot actually, the award, since I joined it in 2008. And there's a lot of data if you need it. So it probably makes it easier for us to make the right decision. It's much harder for the drivers out on track.
Well, let's talk about our most recent winner then. Who was that, and when was the last time you saw him?
Zach O'Sullivan won it last year, and I last saw him when he was having his F1 prize drive at Silverstone in the Aston Martin AMR 21, which, as I pointed out the other day, means he's probably driven the fastest F1 car we've ever seen at the tests, because previously it's been the previous generation of cars, and because this is last year's car, it's actually quicker than the current generation of F1 car. So it's about as quick as it gets, really.
So what's that like then? How does that day go when they finally get the chance? Because he had to wait a long time since being crowned the winner to finally get inside the car.
Well, it used to be longer, because obviously sometimes if these drivers have only driven quite a lower category car, like some of the, in the old days, it come out of Formula Ford, or to go from Formula Ford with no slicks or wings and stick them in an F1 car within a year is a bit of a shout. So in the old days, it used to be 2, 3, 4 years before they got their F1 test. But now we try and do it, basically a year on. So at the following year's tests, and it's nice to get the finalists for that year to get there as well and go, look, this is what you could be doing next year. It's really cool. They quite often know each other because they've been coming through the junior ranks together. So it's nice to get family and friends and whatever together. So, yeah, but I mean, for Zach, I mean, he's driven in 2022, he was in FIA Formula 3. So even from that to an F1 car is a big old jump. You know, he said that the biggest thing was braking. Yeah, he was braking 15, 20 metres later than the F3 car, but arriving 80 to 90 miles an hour faster. So he said Silverstone Sunday seemed a much smaller circuit than it had done in anything else. And that's how quick F1 cars are.
So what preparation does Zach get, or do the winners get? Do they get time in a simulator? Would he have spent time with Aston Martin before just rocking up at Silverstone that morning?
Well, it varies a little bit from year on year, depending on what's available and timing and other commitments. But and of course, he's a Williams Academy driver as well, so you have to be a little bit careful with that. But yeah, he had some time in the simulator, and obviously, I mean, just working the steering wheel of a modern F1 car requires almost a PhD anyway. So he was given all that information, but he's a very sharp guy. I mean, one of the reasons that he won the award, he was 16 then, he's 17 now, but he just had a very good technical understanding, very savvy, just gets it, very mature, all the cliches that we tend to say about the winners. So I think that's one of the things that impressed the Aston Martin team the most, is just how quickly he got on top of all, a lot of bandwidth, considering, it's my first drive in an F1 car and it's incredibly powerful and really fast, but actually, all the other bit, the professional racing driver kicks in. So it might be 17, but, they know what they're doing, these kids.
And what's in it for Aston Martin?
Well, I think it's being associated. I'd like to think it's associated with one of the most prestigious awards in motorsport. You know, they want to be, they're a classic British company, aren't they? A British name, want to be associated with it. They've been fantastic partners. You know, they've helped us take it on to the next level. Obviously, we had a very long relationship with McLaren beforehand, which did a great job, and Aston Martin have taken that on. So, and also, of course, they get the first look at some of these drivers. So, and they've got GT arms and other things going on. So, it's not unheard of for these finalists to find their way into simulator work or doing some sort of driving somewhere else or some sort of work. So it's great for the finalists to get those contacts, but also it gives the team involved. And that's how McLaren got Lando Norris signed up, was the work that he did in the war test and simulator immediately afterwards, and they went, oh, this guy's quite good, isn't he? That's gone quite well so far.
And what are the rules on the machinery that they're allowed to take on track in terms of versus current stuff and the rules around testing and track time?
Well, it's a lot easier now than it used to be, because the cars that are a part of the test, so the Motorsport Vision Formula 2 car, that they just live at, I believe they live at Bedford, and they don't race anymore, they don't test anymore, so we've got total control on that. So we know that they haven't driven those cars. I don't think many of the finalists are going to have an opportunity to jump into an LMP3 car very often, so the Ligier is new to them. Obviously, GT3 machinery is a bit more available, and a few drivers have jumped into cars. But we used to be a bit more on it in terms of stopping drivers testing cars that were a bit too relevant beforehand, but then you get into trouble of potentially harming someone's winter preparation for the next season. So the cars we've got now make that less of a problem. So they're able to kind of prepare. I guess if someone went out and bought or went to Jonathan Palmer and went, I want to buy an MSV Formula 2 car and you run it for a week, that would probably be an issue. But yeah, that's not really going to happen. So the restrictions aren't what they used to be.
So who are the judges for the award then? All important judges.
Well, we've got some former winners. We were just talking just before about the winners that have gone on to do other things. It's nice when they come back and complete the circle. So, you know, Dario Franchitti, who was a guest judge last year, is now a full judge because he liked it so much the first time. And we liked him. He's got great contacts and experience. Of course he has. Darren Turner, Andrew Kokodi, and Alexander Sims. So they're all former winners as well. So they're part of the panel. Derek Warwick, of course, is our mighty leader, chairman of the judges. Everyone knows Derek. British Touring Car ace Jason Plato, just retired, of course. Lola and McLaren designer Mark Williams. Le Mans winning engineer Lena Gade, leading commentator Ian Titchmarsh, who I have all my arguments about pre-war Grand Prix racing with, and me, of course, tacked on the end of the list.
And then what are the judges going through? You mentioned there's so much more data because of telematics these days, but what's the format the judges take to try and find a winner in this process?
So, we put them through quite a lot, to be honest. Although, hopefully, it's a good experience as well as a testing one. So, they have fitness tests with athletic thinking. They have simulator tests at Mercedes F1 team, which have been, they've done a great job. Both of those then feed back to us based on the criteria that they deem most relevant for a racing driver and for what they do. So, that gives us something to go on before they even step into a racing car. Then obviously they've got the 2 days at Silverstone and we give them various tests. I mean, ultimately speed is what we're looking for, but it's also feedback, how they work with the teams. We speak to the teams at the end of the runs as well to find out how, has anyone been awkward? Has anyone asked lots of questions? How are they using the benchmark drivers? Has anyone taken the mickey with track limits? Because we've got videos everywhere. We've got CCTV, we've got onboards. So we can call up anything we want. But because there's 10 judges now, we're positioned at various points. Some of us will be in the sort of judges' HQ, some of us will be around the track. It's pretty unusual for something to slip by, to be honest. But if there is something we're not sure about, why was that lap particularly quicker or slower? We can call up the onboard or we can speak to the engineers of the cars and go, what happened there? Look at the telemetry. So, yeah, so at the end of the day, we've got all at the end of the 2 days, we've got all this data from three cars, 2 days, new tyres, old tyres, quite often wet because it's October and Silverstone in October. But I think I've done a piece for the magazine first December issue, which is how to win the award, and like the number one thing is be quick, don't crash.
Okay, well we're going to get into that now. So for any budding drivers in the audience, or you've ever wondered, then stick around. We're going to get into that in just a moment.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. So we're talking about the Aston Martin Autosport BRDC Young Driver of the Year Award. We've discussed last year's winner, Zach O'Sullivan. We'll get on to the final four finalists, and that's been whittled down from a long list as well, by the way. But before we do, and the winner announced at the Autosport Awards coming up very soon, how do you win this award? You've put a list together of the key criteria. Can you run that through for us?
Yeah, I'll try and be relatively brief. So the first one, a lot of it's quite obvious really, but it's amazing how many people don't do these. So one is be prepared. So as soon as you become a finalist, you're almost certainly going to know someone who's done it before, because, you know, racing drivers speak to each other, engineers, teams, etc. Give them a call, find out what the format is. So at very least, you're not surprised. I mean, I remember one particular finalist turning out and going, oh, this is quite a big deal, isn't it? Oh, yeah, 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 it's quite. Oh, I probably should have done something. Yes, you should have done, yes. But, I mean, that's rare these days. Though I think most drivers kind of get it at the moment. So the other thing is to ring up anyone that's driven the cars that you know are going to be in the test, because normally we announce the cars at the same time. Yeah. So if you know it's Elysia and it's going to be run by United Autosports, maybe give them a shout. Yeah. Someone you know there, possibly. So, yeah, get prepared. Get as much data as you can. I know some finalists have looked at onboards from Silverstone for particular cars.
Well, I was going to say, they know they're driving at Silverstone. They know certain cars they're going to be driving. There's so much available on YouTube, on various places you can find onboards. They could literally just go drive. And even the home simulators that are available with games.
Absolutely, yeah.
Days,
they're so good now. So, yeah, anything you can think of, really, that could give you an edge. We all know that you've had a good season. That's why you're in the four. So you know that the other three are going to be very good. So any way you can get a competitive advantage. One thing that does amuse me is that, well, the judges are always available, but we don't get contacted very often. I think that people think we're a bit scary. Well, I'm sure they don't think I'm scary, but some of the more esteemed judges, perhaps. But actually, we're all kind of keen to help and see everyone do their best. So you can give us a ring as well if you're really desperate.
So that wouldn't compromise their chances if somebody was cheeky and gave you a call or an email and said, hey, I'm one of the final four, can I pick your brains?
No, I think we consider that to be a good bit of initiative there.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it might, depending on what question they asked, we might have to go, okay, I'll just get back to you. Derek, what do you reckon? But I think that because we've been a consistent judging panel, I think we're all sort of on the same page, really. So I think that would be a good bit of initiative to bring up and go, does this work then?
Yeah, okay. Right, what's next on the list?
So next on this is take the fitness and simulator test seriously. Most drivers, I think, get this anyway, but obviously fitness is a good sign as to how seriously they're taking it outside the car. So some drivers we know can just rock up and they'll be quick, and at a lower level you can get away with that. But unless you're unbelievable, which, you know, most of them are by the time they get to F1, that's not going to be the difference between the drivers. So fitness is something that you can control for relatively low cost, because we know motorsport is expensive. So that gives a little sign. It gives us a little steer on what their strengths and weaknesses might be in the car, you know, if they've not got the upper body strength or whatever it might be. And it also gives us something nice to feedback about in January, because we give feedback sessions, or we offer feedback sessions to all the finalists. And the simulator tests, of course, as well. You know, there are certain things you can go into a simulation and go, I'm going to slightly take the mickey with the software and just go for a lap time and bash across curbs and all the rest of it. You need to but it needs to be useful for the real world as well. Now, I think simulators are getting better and better. There's less and less scope for that kind of thing. And obviously, Mercedes F1 sim is going to be one of the best in the world. Treat it professionally. Get as much, you know, to be consistent. Treat it like it's a proper thing. But I think that's something that most of the finalists do anyway now, really.
We saw only recently at the post-season Pirelli tyre test, not only young drivers coming into the car, but the likes of Hülkenberg, who you would think are pretty fit, and even he said by the end of the running, and some of the drivers are doing 120, 140, 160 laps, he was saying that the limiting factor was the human side. He was just shot by the end of it. So these are, you know, you are ultimately getting in some very quick cars, and physically you need to be on top form.
Absolutely, yeah. Derek Warwick, you know, always says, you know, be physically ready for the category, at least one category above where you're competing. Oh, really? Because you never know when you might get that call and go, someone's got COVID or injured themselves or whatever. Do you want to come and do a test? Do you want to come and do a race weekend? And you can't go, no, my neck hurts a bit. You need to be apt. And of course, this is something that Mark Schumacher taught everyone. The fitter you are, the more capacity you've got for everything else, for driving the car, for strategy, for tyre life preservation, all that sort of stuff. If you're panting and, you know, as unfit as I am, that's no good at all. But if you can run a marathon and then jump in a race car and do a Grand Prix distance, then you're not going to be struggling with anything.
I remember the first time they had sort of onboard driver monitoring years and years ago, back in, you know, Schumacher's first stint. And I think one of the TV features featured him doing a lap and his heartbeat and how slow his heartbeat was, because he'd spent years and years and years just making the driving normal. So he'd normalized the driving, and then he had that capacity physically and mentally that his, you know, he wasn't doing like 140 beats per minute on his heart. He wasn't strained driving the vehicle, so he had that capacity.
Exactly, and that means that you've, yeah, that's why you see him on a qualifying lap changing the brake bars or whatever from corner to corner to maximise the lap. Or you get someone like Alonso on the radio who just knows where everyone else is, and he's like, I think there's strategy. Whereas you get some drivers that are just like the driving is all there. Yeah, all they can manage. So fitness just helps you. It's kind of the icing on the cake, really, gives that extra little bit that you can, that you can sort of have over your rivals.
What's next on your list?
Next on the list is don't be afraid to ask questions. This kind of comes back to the point I said about the judges, but even through the process, don't think right, I can't possibly ask that because that's a stupid question. We'd much rather have a stupid question and you do a better lap time or not damage the car in some way. Because these are three cars. You've got a lot of information thrown at them. They've got things to consider. Like we have track limits regulations that we give them for the 2 days. There's lots of, you need to be there at this time, there at that time. You need to do this, that and the other. There's a lot of demands on their time, a lot. And these drivers are, you know, teenagers a lot of the time or early 20s. So there's a lot thrown at them. It's like, just ask a question. Like, that's fine. We'd much rather that because we're there, you know, Derek says, we're not policemen. We're there to help you get the best out of yourselves because that's all we want to do. We want to sit back and see, you know, four drivers do an incredible job. So, that's the main thing, really. Don't go away. We don't want anyone to leave the track going, oh, I really wish I'd asked that question.
Right, yeah. And that's been the case with the previous winners that, you know, in more recent years, the likes of Lando Norris and George Russell, that era of driver are very switched on from a very young age in terms of picking the brains of the engineers in the teams.
Absolutely. And the benchmark drivers. I remember a year or two ago, Alexander Sims was out and we were stood at Brooklands for one of the sessions and he got a call, can you come back? One of the finalists wants to talk to you about the benchmark car because he was the benchmark driver that particular year. And off he went and, you know, because the driver, and that's absolutely right. That's what the driver should be doing. And I was like, well, where's the benchmark driver? I want to have a word with him. What's the best way to bring the tyres in? Yeah, why wouldn't you ask those questions? You're not going to know that. We don't expect you to fluke an answer to that on your first, you know, 5 or 10 lap run in a car. So the more information you've got, the better.
Okay, what's next on the list?
Well, it plays into that brilliantly.
Yeah,
great
segue,
which is adapt to the machinery.
Yeah.
So obviously it's very unusual that a professional racing driver is going to be jumping into three different cars on a weekend, you know, on a 2 days. But it's a great opportunity. But it also, you do, with most series have such restrictions on testing now, you need to be able to go out there and bang in a lap time. Like again, Alonso, he's incredible at go out, he does the lap, that's where the car is, right, come in, set up, change, go again. The quicker that you can get on top of a car, the better. So that's why we have the three different cars there, really, is to show that adaptability with very limited running. And obviously, because we've got the F2 cars are kind of the core, if you like, because that's what they spend the most time in. That's the single-seater. But if it's really close to the single-seater, you know, it's pretty handy to have the other two cars there to look at. And actually, it's amazing how often the winner also stars in one of the other cars. So Lando Norris and Hiddy was absolutely sensational in the DTM car, for example.
Oh, really?
You know, even, I mean, he was 16 at the time, I think, and the DTM engineers looked at him and were sort of like, is that the guy's brother, or is he a kid, right? no, he's actual driver. And they were like, oh my god, well, he can go last in case he bins it, sort of thing. And of course he goes out, now's at that time. And you know, you go, oh. and Alexander Sims, when he was a finalist, he beat Gary Paffett's time, benchmark time, the DTM car. So Jenson Button was quickest in the Nissan Super Tourer, quicker in the benchmark when he won it in 1998. And so it's amazing how often the quickest person in the single seater also is the person that's just got that little, that's the bit I look forward to the most, actually, is seeing how they adapt to something that's completely alien to them.
And any more on your list?
Yeah, one more, but
okay,
it's the most obvious.
Yeah, go on.
Be fast, don't crash.
Okay, be fast, don't crash.
All right. I don't know if that needs really much more explaining, but I would say there have been a couple of finalists in my time involved with the award that might or even could have won,
yeah,
perhaps should have won, had they not binned the car. But fortunately, we've not had a serious, I don't mean a spin or a lockup or something, I mean a proper, you know, that's all right. You can kind of get away with that. I mean, not sure if I should say that, Derek might be cross with me. But yeah, if you go in the wall and you rip wheels off and stuff, that's game over. So we've got a spare F2 car, but it's for mechanical problems. If it hasn't happened yet, I don't think, but if there's a mechanical problem for one of the four main cars, then we can just replace it. But it's not there for if you've binned it and you go, oh, I'll run back for the T car. No, it's not for you, I'm afraid.
Is there an argument that they should be pushing as hard as possible. You know, you see drivers in FP1, FP2 on a race weekend, and they're, you know, hit track limits and all over the place, and then in qualifying, tight as you like, because they're just mentally calibrating, oh, no, I can't go that far. So you don't penalise people too much for just finding the line and then stepping back.
Oh, no, 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 yeah. And that's probably the hardest thing for the drivers. Yeah, an unfamiliar car. In some cases, they haven't raced much at Silverstone Grand Prix track either. So finding the limits, but not going over them to the degree where you've... But you can be smart about where you push the limits as well, you know, where there's more runoff or whether it's a slow corner. You can go, oh, I wonder what happens if I do this, and get a feel for it before you then go, right, on the more tricky areas, I'm going to hang it out and, you know... But normally it's treading that fine line, as you say. But you wouldn't go into a race weekend expecting to crash either. So it's not, I don't think it's that much of a different mentality, really.
We're looking at the four finalists this year. Ollie Bearman, a familiar name, been racing in FIA Formula 3 with Prema. Luke Browning, been racing in GB3 with Hi-Tech. Jamie Chadwick, racing in W Series and other things as well. And Louis Foster, Indy Pro 2000 champion with exclusive Autosport. Now, some of those names are going to be familiar from last year. What's the thinking on drivers who didn't win last year coming back and getting another bite of the cherry?
Well, we have had previous finalists win on their second or third. I think Dario actually won on his second attempt. Sorry, Dario.
just to remind him.
Second time lucky.
Just
yeah.
to remind
no,
him.
I think he's got fond memories of doing it. But yeah, so it's based on the season they've just had. You know, so if they've done another good season in a category that means they qualify, we consider them. And obviously, you sometimes, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but you sometimes get a feeling from the first. Sometimes we'll put a driver in a bit early, maybe in their career, and you think they've got something, but they didn't quite string it together this time. We quite like to see them again. And then obviously, you're kind of in the lap of the gods as to whether they go into a category that's they still makes them eligible, and if they nail it. And yeah, we were fortunate to have Ollie Bearman and Louis Foster were finalists last year and did great jobs during 2022, so they qualified again. Jamie Chadwick actually had been a finalist previously, and obviously she got on with dominating W Series, arguably even more for her third crown than she had previously. So the actual only newcomer was Luke Browning, the GB3 champion. We try and factor that in. If on the first day the one person, yeah, let's say Luke had been a little bit off the other three in the first runs, you'd say, well, that's not a disaster. You're not definitely lost at that point because they've got 2 days of experience behind them. It's funny how that it doesn't seem to usually translate with that. It quite often, the drivers that haven't done it before, pretty much in the ballpark in the first morning. It's almost like the others are getting up to speed with what they remember anyway. So it's amazing how it seems to even out, but we do try and factor that in. But by the end of the 2 days, yeah, you've usually got a pretty good idea.
Age-wise, what's the youngest and oldest that we've featured over the years that you can remember?
George and Lando were two of the youngest.
Yeah, 15, 16 years old.
Got to be 16 at the time of the tests, and they got to be under 24 at the start of that year. So Jamie was 24 by the time she got to the test. So this last year she's eligible, but she was young enough at the start of the year. So she got in. So yeah, we've had a few at 16, 17. I mean, you know, Ollie Bearman, 17. He was 16 last year. Yeah, as you say, Lando and George, I think, were both 16 as well. So yeah, you can get the... It is remarkable. It's one of the great things about it, actually. It's just remarkable how good some of these teenagers are straight into some proper... I love it, honestly. The only thing I'd like to do is also have 2 days where we get, you know, Max Lewis, George, Charles Leclerc, come on down and try three cars and we'll just see who's quickest, which would be quite good fun. But obviously, I don't know whether they'd... Actually, I don't know. They probably would like it because they each back themselves to win, probably. It would be persuading their team, sponsors and everything else for them to come and do it.
The ability of a racing driver to get in any car and drive insanely quickly is one of those things that is always surprising to me, and it shouldn't be because they're quick at driving cars, but they can get in anything and find the limit really quickly. And it's kind of obvious when you say that because that's why they're so good at what they do. But whenever I've experienced it, I've been like, oh my goodness, you can drive one of these as well. And you really, or Lewis can get on a bike and be quick after a few laps. You go, oh my goodness.
Well, partly it's because, as you say, that's their thing. But also, these sorts of people, they're just driven compared. Oh, you could go, and I bet you could go and go, right, we're going to go and play football now.
Yeah.
I bet they're not going to just jog around. They're going to be in for everything.
They
you know,
win,
they're just competitive people. And when they're in their environment and doing their thing, you know, it's a joy to watch.
What's the countdown now to the Autosport Awards? It's not long. There's lots of activity going on for that. So not long, not many days until that. And we'll find out our winner at the final award of the night, our big gala evening that is back in its usual place in the calendar. Well, there we go. That's brought you up to speed on the Aston Martin Autosport BRDC Young Driver of the Year Award. Fascinating stuff. Thank you very much for listening to the Autosport Podcast, and we'll see you on the next one.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
The is it morning yet deal. How about now? Or now? Because morning time is McDonald's breakfast time. And that's the best time of all the times.
Wake up with a little splash of sweetness. Get any size iced coffee from caramel to hazelnut to French vanilla for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Sports Social Podcast Network.